Yeah.
Stay on your grind, baby. Stay on your hustle. Alright.
Yeah, you're gonna make it. The world is yours.
Yeah.
So young and fly.
You're listening to TV Madness with Makisha Madden-Toby. I'm your host. Thanks for listening. The current TV season has barely ended, and we're already talking about fall shows. Last week, the five broadcast networks, CBS, ABC, Fox, CW, and who did I leave out? Oh, yeah, NBC, rolled out their fall lineups. And they also confirmed which shows are going to be axed. To help us sort of sort through the carnage as well as the new fall shows that are on deck, we're talking to TVholic and TV Times 3 podcast host Jason Griffin. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for doing the show. So, of the cancellations, which one sort of stuck out in your mind? Which one disappointed you? What sticks out?
Well, of the cancellations, the one I'm most disappointed in having canceled is Happy Endings, even though it's totally understandable why it got canceled.
Well, they kept killing it. I mean, they were trying to kill it. They kept moving it to worse and worse nights, and then they put it on Friday nights, which is all but a death nail, right? I mean, it's sort of like, what did they want the show to survive?
Yeah, they did some... They did some weird stuff. I think it may have had a better chance of maybe gaining some sort of audience if they would have just left it on Tuesdays and ran out the rest of the episodes. But
why? I mean, it's a funny. It was a funny show, and hopefully the USA Network is supposedly looking at it or is reportedly looking at it. I guess they are looking at it, and hopefully they'll pick it up. But it's just sort of like, did ABC not like the show? Was it a Paulie, this is not my show type of thing? Because he came in and it already, you know what I mean? Like, what was that about?
Yeah, I don't know sometimes how they make their decisions. They seem to, like, when a show's not performing, like, right off the bat in some time slot, they're like, well, let's try it someplace else. But then they started, you know, like, putting it on Sunday nights at 10 o'clock and all kinds of weird spots where if you were a fan of the show and you didn't have your DVR set for new episodes, you might, you know, you might miss some episodes because it wasn't like they just moved it there. They were still playing it on Tuesday as well. And that one was very strange. It'd be nice if USA would pick it up. It'd be an interesting show to play along with, you know, repeat episodes of Modern Family that they've bought to air in the fall.
Right.
That would have been an interesting place for it to have stayed in the lineup.
That's when it did its best. No, it's like when they put it on after Modern Family, when it first started, it did really well. Here's a crazy idea. Leave it there. But, you know, that's hindsight because it's gone now. ABC doesn't have it anymore, so hopefully USA will pick it up.
Yeah.
Anything else?
The other show that I really liked was Go On NBC. And I was surprised that, not necessarily that they would like clean house like they did, but that would be included and Community would somehow make it back on to another season. Like that's one of those when you definitely. You see the ratings and you see the quality of a show, but you never see the behind-the-scenes stuff of how much a show actually costs and all those machinations that go on. And apparently Sony gave them quite the package deal on some of the other – along with some of the other shows that they picked up that Sony is producing to get another season out of that. So, you know, it becomes one of those – almost no-brainer pickups, even if it's something that you've been trying to get rid of for a while, that you're like, well, it doesn't really cost us anything, so whatever we make in advertising, no matter how little people are watching it, it's all gravy.
But here's the thing. Okay, fine. Sony gave you the sweetest deal ever for Community to keep it on. Why not keep Community and Go On? You can't tell me that Go On is not better than some of the fall offerings that they have on the slate for comedies.
Yeah,
at a glance, at least.
At least based on
the trailers.
On trailers and stuff. It would have been interesting to see it, like, slotted in on, you know, like on Thursday night, you know, in with a couple new shows and, you know, Parks and Rec. I think it would have fit weird there. The thing that bothers me is that, yes, it didn't do as well once The Voice wasn't its lead-in.
Right.
But then they also did stuff like, well, let's try it on Thursday night for a couple episodes. But they tried it on Thursday night for a couple episodes where The Office wasn't new and, you know, Parks and, you know, there was nothing else new on the night. And you're just like, really?
Really?
You're trying it on a Thursday night after an Office repeat in a season where practically nobody's still watching The Office.
Right, so. Where it's like the worst season of The Office ever. You know, and I would even argue in some ways worse than the first season when they were just like basically just a rehash of the original Office. I feel like that season was still better than this season. Though I think they made up for it with the finale. I really enjoyed the finale. Did you see that, the series finale of The Office? What did you think?
I have it on the DVR. I haven't got a chance to
watch it. Jason, you're killing me. I wanted you to see it. No, I'm just kidding. We'll talk about it another time.
One of those shows that, like, I stopped watching partway through last season. And I was
the James
like,
Spader years or whatever.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'll watch the final season. And I think I watched, like, the first episode. And I was just like, there was too many other things on that I was just like, this doesn't interest me anymore.
No, I know what you mean. But I feel like they redeemed themselves in the finale. And they had to. And they did. But my argument with Go On is, and that's when you started getting, you feel like sort of like one of those sports fans, except, you know, TV, for us, TV is our sport, right? And you know, one of your favorite players does this boneheaded move. Now that NBC is one of my favorite networks. That's not what I'm saying. I just felt like Go On was a show worth saving. And I felt like they just killed it without really trying to see if it could have maybe lasted or, you know, gained more traction in the second season. And even if, you know, the only salvaged show from that Thursday night lineup is Parks and Rec, why not pair Parks and Rec with Go On? Because it's not a workplace comedy, but it sort of has that sort of ensemble cast thing going for it. And you know what I mean? Like, if they had killed off Parks and Rec, because it wasn't the best show in its first season. And Go On, I would even argue, was a better show in its first season than Parks and Rec was even. Because Parks and Rec was trying to be The Office. You know, if they had killed it, then we wouldn't even have that. So, I mean, it's just so strange to me to just kill.
Well, you already mentioned
The
Office. You know, how if you had just gone by The
Office. And The Office, too. Right.
It wouldn't have been around for as long as it was. And, you know, I think Go On improved over the course of the season. It's one of those strange things where as the show got better, less and less people were watching it.
Because NBC kept moving it. People were like, what's that show? When's it on? Is that the new normal? Like, no one knew what was going on.
And the same, you know, the same thing happened, you know, with New Girl this year is the show really hit its stride and then people weren't watching it anymore. You know,
it got good. Yeah, I know.
There's a handful of shows that
Mindy Project too, right? Mindy Project got better, I would argue. It got better. It got a lot better. I thought it was funnier and sharper and the casting, everything was better. And it was like, who's watching this? Nobody's watching. But at least it's coming back. You know what I mean? And that's the thing. It's just sort of like Fox has made, you know, fatal mistakes with shows and canceling them prematurely as well. I'm not saying any of the networks haven't done that to other shows. And we'll talk about that more, too, with some of the other networks canceled shows. But I feel like, at least with Fox, the Mindy Project has been given a second chance to gain more traction, to attract more viewers, because I think it will. I think it's a funny show. I think it has, and it's paired up nicely with New Girl. So if they had done the same thing that NBC did when they just sort of just killed Go On for whatever reason, like you said, we don't know all the behind-the-scenes story as to what that really is about. You know, it's just unfortunate. It's just unfortunate.
Well, it's one of those that's weird where they were this huge push over the summer that were, you know, that they talking about how shows like The Office and 30 Rock and stuff, they wanted to go away from those type of shows and go broad because these had like very solid core audiences were watching all these shows, but they weren't getting out there to the, you know, the bigger overall audience. And so they wanted to go broader and then, then they canceled everything. some stuff that died early on, you know, like Animal Practice. And
which needed to die early on because it was stupid.
But yet, you know.
Or Guys with Kids, which was also stupid.
Yeah, I was hoping that, you know, Go On would at least get the treatment that Up All Night and Whitney got and get, like, a second season to try and find something.
Right.
You know, to try and find an audience. But
Whitney got two seasons. Jason.
Yeah, but I just find it very funny that they canceled all these these shows where they were going for the broad comedy,
which is where they started going, yeah,
including the, you know, the all the shows in their first and, you know, a bunch of shows that were in their second season, and the shows that remain are Parks and Rec and Community.
And Community. Parks and Rec, I can see that. I can see that.
Well, I couldn't imagine that they would, you know, really cancel everything. They had to. It's one of those they had to keep something. But you figured if they were going to keep two or three shows that that Go On would have got a reprieve for another season.
I don't know. Anything else? What about Vegas? Were you? I wasn't bummed about Vegas getting canceled, I have to admit, because I wasn't a fan of the show from the start. Did you like Vegas? Were you disappointed that it got canceled?
I kind of liked it in the beginning, but it was one of the shows that sort of dropped off the list as the season went along.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't enough there to like keep me wanting to come back. On a weekly basis,
yeah.
Even once it got moved to like Friday nights, and there's not like a whole lot of
to compete
other stuff on right. Friday nights, but
right.
It's still
yeah. What else did CBS cancel? That? No, I guess they didn't cancel anything else. Here's the thing: when they finally canceled Rules of Engagement, I don't think people. I still don't even believe that it's canceled because wasn't it canceled before? And then they.
Well, it's always been where it's. You think, oh, it's probably going to get canceled, but then it got the, you know, the old reprieve to get, you know, more episodes. And then once it got to a certain number, it was like, oh, it does pretty well for us as a binge player. And again, another one of those Sony comedies.
Right.
Where they give, as more episodes start piling up, they start giving sweeter and sweeter deals to get closer to 100 episodes.
Right.
I think for Sony, I think it makes sense for Rules of Engagement. It's definitely one that I could see would play well in syndication.
Yeah,
well, you know,
then, yeah.
More so than
it will.
Like,
it
like
will.
Community. And so, yeah, it's like, again, there's a lot of these comedies. I think Happy Indies is a Sony comedy.
Yes, it is.
So.
Yeah, I guess the deal wasn't sweet enough for ABC with that one. But here's the thing. I did a set visit for Rules of Engagement earlier, late last year. It was right in the fall because the show wasn't coming back until like January or something like that. And the stars of the show were just so confused. They were so – they looked like they were all – somebody was at the grocery store, for instance, or someone was on vacation, and they called them and said, hey, we're doing one more. And they were like, really? And they looked just – and when I was interviewing them, I was like, are you excited about coming back? And they were like, I don't know. I don't – everybody just looked confused and shell-shocked as to why they were even there. So when the cast is even confused, I guess maybe it is time to call it a day. But it's sort of one of those things that like it never did poorly. And no matter what night they were sticking on, it always did well because people who liked it for whatever reason, I could never figure it out because it was so bad, the numbers. But for people who liked it, they liked it. You know what I mean? So why kill it? Or
yeah, well, I think it's definitely that – it's that style of comedy that you can just sit down and watch.
Mindlessly.
You don't have to overly pay attention because of the basic setup joke.
If you missed last week, doesn't matter. Missed the whole season? Awesome. Yeah. Does not matter.
there's no
big developments. The couple that's not married, still not married.
Yeah. There may be some sort of, you know, continuing developments, but nothing that you really need to know about to enjoy the, you know, comedy aspect of the show. Because it's the basic setup and joke and sort of like, you know, a lot of put downs of your friends and stuff like that type humor. And you can just sit back and mindlessly watch that and, you know, chuckle.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, especially when you pair it with, you know, like a...
Two and a Half Men, Two Broke Girls, any of the twos,
or the Big Bang Theory, or something like that. It's gonna hold some audience.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, I'm not even thinking enough to turn. Oh, what is this? And then you just watch, like you said, there's no huge development. I bet you that's even how Sony sold it to see, or kept, you know, CBS kept wanting. Sony
you can
was like,
put it anywhere, anytime,
put it anywhere. There's nothing really going on. This couple's never gonna have a kid. This couple's never gonna get married. Just keep it going. Patrick Warburton's getting a little older, and we'll just keep dying his hair. You know what I mean? Like, don't even pay attention to that. But, yeah, it's just one of those things that you're just like, I still don't even believe it. I don't even believe that it's really canceled, Jason. I think they're just still going to roll it out at some point. Mark my words. So moving on to the new fall shows, is there anything that excites you that you've seen so far?
Of stuff that I've seen, I've seen some of the Fox and some of the ABC stuff, and I liked Almost Human.
Really?
You know, sort of. It's I think there's something there, you know, to follow, and but the whole thing sort of hinges on you have this sort of big production of the pilot, and can they keep that, you know, sort of the style of it where, you know, some of the special effects and things that they do, can they keep that feel and look when they're obviously not going to have the same budget, you know, on a weekly, you know, sort of a weekly series. It kind of has, you know, a little bit bigger feel to it, like some of those, you know, like because of the futuristic aspect, they have to use a lot of special effects to make.
Oh, I
city
see. So like Terra Nova or Fringe or.
Yeah. So, but I like the idea of, you know, there's a, you have a human cop paired with a, you know, a basically a robot or cyborg cop. And, but there's something set in that there may be something more to some of the robot cops than, and you know, there's some mystery aspect behind it. And I watched it and I liked it.
I like Michael Ealy. So pretty much anything he's on, I'm going to watch it at least twice.
Well, I think this may fit him well because he gets to play a robot.
What are you saying about him? Are you saying? Are you not so subtly saying that he's not a good actor? Or Jason? Is that?
No, I'm not necessarily totally saying that, but
you kinda are. It's okay. You're amongst.
He's a robot with feelings, so you know.
Michael Ealy is a very attractive man, and if he's limited by some of his acting skills, perhaps this is a better suited role for him, but I think he can do anything. I like him a lot. But no, I know what you mean. What else do you like?
I also liked Brooklyn Nine-Nine a little bit.
Okay.
You know, it's sort of in the vein of it's sort of like if you crossed NYPD Blue with like Barney Miller, you know, you get, because they actually, Barney Miller was pretty much just set
in the. I love Barney Miller.
Barney Miller was pretty much just set in the office, you know,
yeah,
where the
cops
were.
Yeah, they didn't really see them fighting crime. Right.
But this has them, they, you know, they actually are going out and doing investigations and stuff. So you have that. I think it's a well-suited vehicle for Andy Samberg.
Okay. That's saying a lot because he's sort of a goofball. You never really know how that's gonna, you know.
But I think that's why it fits. He's, you know, he's the goofball detective. That he's really good detective, but he's also, you know, a complete child. And but I think there's potential for fun in taking it sort of the same thing as Enlisted.
Okay.
That I really liked.
You like Enlisted too?
Yeah. I really like, it's very charming. It's in the vein of, you know, McHale's Navy or like Gomer Pyle, you know, that sort of military comedy, you know, and then there's also a little bit of a family aspect to it that I really liked. I don't know about, I think it's supposed to be, I can't remember when it's supposed to play.
Oh, like what era is that in?
No, I mean, when it's supposed to play. I think it's supposed to end up being on, like,
oh, like a mid-season
Fridays
show?
Oh.
It's not. It's going to be on in the fall, right?
I think so.
That's the thing with Fox, though. I mean, usually when they have the World Series, everything's all kind of discombobulated anyway in terms of actual debut dates. But, yeah, I know what you mean in terms of the actual schedule, if it's going to air on Friday nights versus, say, Tuesday. It's not a Tuesday show, though.
Yeah, no, they have, although.
I forgot what the other two comedies are with Mindy Project and the girl.
They're going to play Dad's and Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Okay.
And Dad's is terrible.
Oh, really? It sounded terrible, but again, those things are just like Seth Green.
Ugh. Well, have you seen any of the TBS comedy Men at Work?
Unfortunately.
Well, just picture that show if they decided to bring the characters' dads on as well, because that's basically what it is.
Well, you know what? What was that? There's a CBS show that also feels like Men at Work. With the one with Tony Shalhoub? It's like Tony Shalhoub and...
Well, yeah, that one actually... That one is almost like a...
What's that one called? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I'm blanking on the name of that one. Is that the We Are Men?
Yes, God. It even has men in the title. How could I forget that? Yeah, We Are Men. And it's like, basically, it's just like Men at Work, except with
well,
more
this
diversity.
One is, that one is sort of like a Rules of Engagement or one of those, except like no females. They decided, you know, it's like instead of having the like
the wives
older married couple,
right?
You know, the older married couple helping the younger, you know, about
not
to get married couple,
right.
And then the single guy. This one just has, you know, like they're all divorced, but they're helping
and
like.
Well, one guy got left at the altar. He didn't even get to divorce. Right? It's like a few mostly divorced guys, and then there's like the guy who didn't almost got married, but then his bride left him, and I'm like, didn't that happen in Happy Endings? Like, it's a mishmash of a bunch of shows that you're just like, why? Yeah. Have you seen that one yet?
No. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any of the CBS shows yet.
Yeah, neither have I. What else did you... You said you didn't like Dads. Was there anything else you didn't like?
Fall-wise
that you've seen so far?
Not really sure about Sleepy Hollow.
Like, don't get me started on that show.
The whole premise is completely ridiculous.
Oh my God, it looks awful.
It's trying to be serious.
No, it's not. It's a parody. No. It has to be.
No, it's trying to be serious. But if you've seen the trailer.
The trailer so enraged me, Jason. And I don't know if I can watch it. I don't know. I don't know if my doctor wants me to watch it.
Horseman. With a giant machine gun, start shooting, then you're like, wait.
It feels like a Simpsons parody. It feels like a Simpsons parody. And then the guy, what's his face? The Inkabod, why do I always mess up his name?
Inkabod Crane.
Yes, Inkabod Crane says to the black cop lady, are you emancipated? I was like, what is this? It was straight out of the Simpsons. And then she says, I have a gun. I'm like, I can't take this.
That's right. Well, he's from the days of George Washington. So
still, your question is about her being emancipated, not what are these lights? We use candles. Like electricity would be like enough. Yeah. Hi, how did I get here? And there's electricity would be enough to occupy my mind if I were him. More than... Are you emancipated, black lady cop with a gun? Yeah. Horrible. I don't know if I can even watch that show enough to even tear it apart. And as much fun as that is, it just it looks so bad. But you watched it and you didn't die?
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, I didn't die watching it. And I didn't laugh at it, really. God. You know,
were you frowning too much to laugh?
Like, I was just sort of, like I said, I sort of watched it and I was just like, I don't know. Like, because I like the idea of melding historical things, you know, a historical story with present day type of things and stuff. But I'm not sure that this one is totally going to work. But other stuff for fall.
Because you saw some ABC stuff too, right? So what did you like?
On ABC, I really like Trophy Wife.
Really?
Yeah, I think there's
that trailer, man.
Yeah, that's the thing about is a trailer can make a terrible show look good, and it can make a good show look terrible.
So true. Yeah.
And I think in this case, I think there's a good premise there, and there's a lot of good. I like a lot of the cast.
Okay.
on the show.
Yeah, I like Bradley Whitford. I mean, it's just one of those things where I'm just like, is this what they're going to do with him? But I guess I should actually watch it.
So I think there's a good premise to work there. The other one that I liked was The Goldbergs. It's basically the Wonder Years, but set in the 80s.
Right.
You know, and I'm a child of the 80s, so mm-hmm. I like anything that sort of is set in the 80s and does it well.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, I was even on board for the few episodes of that 80s show that aired, you know.
No, don't say that. That was awful. They didn't even care. They didn't try.
Yeah, not enough there. But this, I think it has that Wonder Years sort of sweet vibe, but it's also the same basic premise. It's a kid narrating what his life was like.
I loved the Wonder Years, so maybe there is something there.
And then while it's not quite as young a set of kids, the thing I found interesting is there's a mid-season show for Fox called Surviving Jack.
Right, which looks not that again. Trailer looks like made it look stupid,
and
because I don't think of Christopher Maloney as like this hilarious person.
Yeah,
or well, maybe it's just me.
Well, the thing about it is while it's sort of set around teenagers instead of younger kids,
right.
It's basically the Wonder Years in the 90s.
Right. Yeah, but during the trailer, like one of the throwaway lines was sort of like, in the 90s, there was no internet, and so porn, and then they show the boy, like, trying to look at a tape. Like, that's the show? That's what you're going to do? And Chris Maloney is the funny dad, or whatever. Maybe he's a straight guy to their antics. I don't know. It just did not look particularly hilarious, but I could be wrong. I haven't watched it yet.
It started out rough, but by the end, I kind of liked it. But, again, it was weird. There seemed to be just having seen the ABC, some of the ABC, not even all of the ABC, but some of the ABC and some of the Fox shows for fall and mid-season, there seem to be a lot of shows that are like somebody narrating their life, or shows that start out with something and then go, and then 7 months before or 6 months ago, there's this weird sort of theme running through a bunch of these shows that you start seeing the same.
Oh, you know what happens when that happens? They usually cancel each other out.
Yeah.
Remember that year there were, like, all these alien shows? There was, like, Threshold and... Yeah.
And Surface.
And then they all just died. So...
Yeah. Nobody watched enough of any of those.
So hopefully if the Goldbergs is good, it will cancel out Surviving Jack or not vice versa or whatever, but
I think there was enough of the sort of sweetness with the comedy that I liked it, and I think they did a good job of redoing the 80s, and you can see a lot of that from the trailer. I think you can see some of that the recreation is done pretty well.
Okay. Well, I will have to check that out, and I really appreciate you making the time to talk about it. We will, if you are free, would love to have you back on the show to talk about some more stuff, TV-related stuff, because you're always awesome, and you always know your stuff. So I appreciate you making the time to do the show, Jason.
Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Take care. Talk to you soon. So this is the part where we thank people, and, of course, I have to first and foremost thank Jason Griffin from TVaholic and TV Times 3 podcast. Check it out. I'll make sure I link it. Check him out on his own show, but we have to thank him for doing my show. So this, because he was great and he's awesome, he knows his stuff. And we also have to thank Theo, because Theo makes miracles happen in the sound booth. He's awesome. And our sponsor, Record Surplus in Santa Monica, the last record store. Visit recordsurplusla.com. We have to thank NPR West and production assistant and graphic artist Adam Janis. And most of all, we have to thank you. Thanks for listening. Take care. Big city, but I bet I know you. I'm trying to look out for real. Put your mama in a mansion, maybe pay off some bills. If the world only knew what you know, you'd blow. And you climbed a few mountains with a million to go. When you remember why you do what you do, it shows. So have fun, stay focused, and stack your dough. Yeah. This is for the artists and the students. Sometimes it's hard to wake up, but you gotta do it. The struggle is the worthwhile part. You can't keep what you did, but you get.